The widow Ashton looked Penelope up and down through her pince-nez. You may certain's wife, then, Lady Constance. You are obviously energetic, and sensibly dressed, too, if a little plainly. No silly frou-frous for you, I see. I admire that in a young lady. Penelope stood on one leg like a stork and did her best to curtsy.
Thank you, but I am the children's governess, ma'am. My name is Miss Penelope Lumley. I work for Lord Ashton, and these three children are his wards. Do I have the pleasure of speaking to Lord Ashton's mother?
The widow Ashton nodded. Admiral Forsay waved his walking stick in the air. Ashton's wards, eh? And what have these three moppets done with my Bertha? They took one of her plumes, see? He narrowed his eyes at Cassiopeia, who, despite being only a quarter of his size, narrowed her eyes right back.
Penelope turned to the Admiral. Pardon me, sir. Who is Bertha?
The Admiral's cheeks turned ruddy with anger, which threw his white mutton-chop sideburns into bold relief.
My ostrich! My ostrich that I shipped at great expense all the way from Africa! Do you have any idea how difficult it is to catch an ostrich? They're mean and stupid, but faster than a thoroughbred. That's why I want to import them to England, for racing. It's a business venture that simply cannot fail. That is, unless my Bertha is lost!
We did see an ostrich on our walk, sir. Bertha, ran off into the woods, Penelope explained. She was remarkably fast, and quite a lovely bird, she added, to be polite.
Nicest ostrich we've seen, Alexander agreed.
The answer seemed to calm the Admiral.
She is a beauty, isn't she? Well, that's all right, then. I was afraid she'd gotten lost at the dock or someplace along the road, but it sounds like she just wiggled out of her cage a bit earlier than planned. Bit of exercise will do her good. I'll have to round her up somehow. Blast! Why couldn't you children just say so?
Forsy, darling, be sweet. Didn't you hear the governess? These are my son's wards.
The widow Ashton gave each child a dewy smile in turn.
Alexander, was it? Beowulf? Who could forget a name like that? And what are you called, dear?
Cassiopeia
muttered, for she was still cross about the plume.
How do you do?
The widow slipped her arm through the Admiral's.
See how polite they are, Forsy. I would have expected my Freddy to marry a flighty, silly sort of girl. That was always his type. But anyone who could raise three such well-behaved children must be of a more substantial character. What a relief. Now, Forsy, give Cassagir back her feather. It looked so pretty in that lovely auburn hair, didn't it?
All right, Sugar Plum, you know best.
He chuckled and held the ostrich feather out to Cassiopeia.
Take your plume back, little growler. We might as well be friends. After all, if all goes according to plan, I'll end up being your grandpapa.
Grandpapa Admiral?
Alexander asked, confused.
That's right, dear.
The widow nervously tugged at her veil.
Admiral Forsay wishes us to wed. I have not yet given him my answer, of course, for I would never agree to remarry without Frederick's blessing. That is why we have come home to Ashton Place. That and this ostrich racing business. But, Forsay, perhaps we ought not to speak of these things until Frederick is present. I wonder if he is at home.
The widow Ashton peered around her through her pince-nez.
Miss Lumley, what is that dreadful squealing noise? Do you keep pigs?
Not in the house, my lady. It might have been a screech owl, but owls were nocturnal and therefore would not be out in the daytime.
A frightened pig was also a fair guess, yet Penelope could swear the sound was coming from the treetops, which ruled out pigs completely. As in the case of ostriches and dodos, the inability of pigs to fly has been well documented.
The widow Ashton winced and stuck her fingers in her ears. It sounds frightfully close. Perhaps Frederick has ordered a roast suckling for dinner in honour of our visit.
Blast, I hope so. The Admiral patted his stomach. On safari, you live on beef jerky and canteen water. Not very appetizing. Crack, thump,
with a final crash followed by an ow!
The source of the squealing was revealed. It was Lady Constance, now sprawled on the grass like a broken doll.
During the entire conversation between the Widow Ashton, the Incorrigibles, the Admiral and Penelope, Lady Constance had clung bravely to her branch. Somehow she managed not to make a sound, not when she learned of an ostrich running loose on the grounds of Ashton Place, nor at the absurd praise heaped on the Incorrigible children by the Widow Ashton. Even the scandalous news that her supposedly grieving mother-in-law seemed to be on the brink of remarriage did not force a peep from the precariously balanced Lady Constance. But then came Nutsawoo. Naturally, the lady's unexpected presence in the tree had attracted the squirrel's attention, and being nearly tame, the hungry scamp had come right up to her to beg for treats. Lady Constance had held on desperately while Nutsawoo perched not 6 inches away from her face, gazing pleadingly into her eyes. That was when Lady Constance began to squeal. It was not until Nutsawoo tapped on her nose with an acorn to make his request for a snack perfectly clear, like so. Tap, 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 that her turned into an yeek. She lost her grip on the branch and tumbled to the ground in full sight of all. Nutsawoo was dragged down as well. After freeing himself from the nest of yellow curls on Lady Constance's head, the surprised squirrel leaped onto Cassiopeia's shoulder for a quick nuzzle and a biscuit crumb before skittering away.
"Stop that vicious rodent!"
Lady Constance yelled as she rolled on the grass, for what was left of her dress was tangled all round her.
"I will have it made!"